Well, good morning, everybody. Well, you heard my wife just a minute ago singing. She's the one with the musical ability in the family. I do good to turn on the radio. The only singing that goes on around the house is either Tamara or our pet wolves. The wolves all start howling, you know, and that's the closest to music as we get around, unless Tamara is singing. But I'm Dr. Phil Levin. It's obviously met Tamara. It's great to be here with you this morning. A beautiful, beautiful day the Lord's given us. It is my habit to start every sermon by reciting John 3:16. We do this as an acknowledgement of Christ as our Savior and the only way to heaven. So join with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're going to talk a little bit today about interruptions. Interruptions happen, don't they? I mean, all of the time. My dogs and the wolves, I love them. 3 a.m., they just start growling and barking at the door. Not so much. Yeah. The doorbell, knock on the door, you know, things like that. Interruptions. Tamara and I, we went to lunch. An hour lunch break from her work. There's a little restaurant about a mile from her work. So I picked her up at the office. We went down there. During the time that we were at the restaurant, her office called 3 times with questions. So of her hour lunch break, she had maybe 15 minutes that she wasn't having to deal with that. So it's kind of an interruption of our lunch plans. But there's other interruptions. Sickness. We get sick. That interrupts life's plans. Life interrupts living. We get so busy with everything, we forget to enjoy life. Death is the ultimate interruption. Interruptions happen. Today we're going to take a look at some interruptions. Turn Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Mark 5, 22. If I'd been smart, I would have marked my place. Mark 5:22. I'm going to read from the King James. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. Jesus was going somewhere. But he got interrupted, didn't he? We don't know where Jesus was going at that time, but he was going somewhere. And Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, interrupted him. Well, now, it's interesting you look at this because now remember, the rulers of the synagogue weren't really big fans of Jesus. You think, now, that's odd to me. Why wouldn't these people be clamoring to get to Jesus? They were biblical scholars, after all. They could see he had fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. He was doing miracles in the Lord's name. They knew who he was. Why weren't they coming? They weren't needed anymore. They've got very, very high positions. High paying, well respected. They are just at the pinnacle. If the Messiah has come, you don't need the Pharisee. If the Messiah's come, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, you don't need them. They weren't serving because they believed. They were serving because it was a vocation. The ones that served out of belief are the ones like Jairus that comes and says, Lord, you have the power of life and death. You can interrupt death. You can interrupt this sickness that my daughter is suffering. Just come and lay hands on her. She'll be healed. That was the faith that he had in Jesus. That he knew that Jesus controlled everything. So he interrupts Jesus, and they go. What a comfort to know that Jesus is going with you to face down this sickness that's invaded your home. A comfort that we have with us every day we go anywhere. We don't go alone. Jesus is with us. He's right there with us facing whatever comes along. In verse 24 it says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Well, that's an interruption. Have you ever left a ball game and tried to carry on a conversation as you're walking back to the car? You're going back to the subway station or wherever? That's an interruption. You can't even hear yourself think. There's so many people and you're kind of moving along in the crowd. So we have another interruption here. The chaos of life can interrupt us from our walk with the Lord too. We get so sidetracked on all the stuff that's going on around us that we don't pay attention to the Lord that should be in front of us. In verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Let me stop there for a second. Here's somebody who suffered a lot. Her physical condition has interrupted her life, her quality of life. It's interrupted so much, and her finances. She spent everything she had, not getting any better, but getting worse. When it said she suffered many things, you better believe it. I mean, modern medicine is bad enough, right? You can imagine what she went through back then. I actually looked it up. Do you know what one of the treatments for hemorrhaging was back then? To carry the ashes of an ostrich egg in your pocket. I'm sure that worked out really well. You think ostrich egg? Try to find one. We could probably find one. Maybe go to St. Louis and we could find an ostrich egg. You know, buy one at the store. I'm sure it'd be horribly expensive. And here in the first century? And you don't even get to make an omelet of it? You just carry the ashes? She had a rough situation. Verse 27, but when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. You need to realize something here. The period that this is taking place, Jesus, the Messiah, who by some would have been seen for who he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. Others would have just seen him as a rabbi, a teacher. In that day, a woman would not have been allowed to touch a rabbi. And that was, oh, no, 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 no. An issue of blood makes you unclean. So you wouldn't even be supposed to be near anybody. You're supposed to be screaming, unclean, stay back, stay back. It's kind of like if I've got a cold, you know, you don't want to shake my hand. But if I have a cold and shake your hand, you may go, oh, thanks, doc, that's nice. But for this lady, if she touched somebody, she faced being stoned because she was unclean. Being female, touching a man, not her husband, she faces being stoned. So it took a lot of courage for this woman to come up from the press, the chaos, just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. That took a lot of courage. Friends, sometimes it takes a lot of courage for you to stand up for your faith. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage to press through all of the chaos of this world and say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Absolutely. We have to stand on that. We can't falter. We can't be timid and go, well, you know, I go to church every now and then. No, we need to stand boldly and say, yes, my faith is in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. It's like this lady that pressed through and touches the hem of his garment. Verse 28, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Instant, her faith got an answer. Guess what, folks? Still works that way. Your faith is strong, your answer will be stronger. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Don't you know that woman's been scared at that moment? He knows. I touched him. What is going to happen? His disciples, of course, are going, "What? You see all of these people and you say, 'Who touched me?' I mean, it's, you're bumping around all these people." They didn't realize that Jesus knew that power had left him, that somebody's faith had activated, and he felt power leave his body. He knows, hey, somebody touched me. Something's going on. So Jesus looks around and looks right at her. Don't you know at that moment she was probably trembling? Here she is, female, unclean. The Holy One of God is here. She touches his clothes and he's like, "Whoa, stop. Somebody, who touched me?" And then he looks and he locks eyes with her. At that moment, it's like, what's going to happen? Is he going to have me stoned? Is he going to put me to shame? Call me out in front of everybody? What's going to happen? Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Imagine that he told her, she's coming up. I've had this issue. I've suffered so much. It's not getting any better. I didn't know where to go, but I've heard about you. I've heard about you, and I had faith that you, the Son of God, could take this mess that I'm in and make it right. I've had a similar conversation with God. I'm sure a lot of you have had a similar conversation with God. Where you come to God and say, "God, you know, I've made a pretty big mess of things. I've made a lot of mistakes." The Bible calls mistakes sin. I would like to get rid of all of that. Help me that I might just touch the hem of your garment and be healed. And thankfully, what happened to the woman happens to us. We come to him and say, "All this chaos, all this madness, all this mess, can you just kind of get rid of that for me?" And Jesus smiles and says, "It was nailed to a cross over 2,000 years ago. You can live and walk in peace and in joy now because I took care of it. I paid the price for it." When this case, the price was power leaving his body, touched his garment. In our case, it was power being transferred to us through the blood that he shed on Calvary. Jesus, looking at this lady, and I'm sure the crowd was wondering, how is he going to handle this? He says, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Wonderful, wonderful words that come from Christ. When we come to him saying, "You know what? I've made mistakes. I'm a mess. Forgive me. Restore me. Heal me." And you can see him smiling, saying, "It's okay. You're forgiven, you're healed. Go in peace." Well now, remember Jairus? About this time, he's probably going nuts. He's like, "Okay, that's nice. Come on, let's go, let's go." And the only thing keeps him from trying to run is, you know, just the, I guess, respect Jesus who he's with and his particular office that he held in the day. It would be unheard of to to actually run. But you know, inside he was galloping. He's going, "We gotta go, we gotta go. My daughter. Don't forget about my daughter. She's the whole reason I interrupted you in the first place. We gotta get to my daughter." Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain person, which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" In other words, it's too late. Your daughter is dead. Your chance passed. No reason to bother Jesus any further. We feel like that sometimes, don't we? We feel like, well, you know, I've fallen down just so much. I'm dead. There's nothing. Why bother God anymore? Instead of going back saying, "Well, guess what, Lord? It's me again. You know, he's going to be done with me. Why bother him anymore? I'm just dead." But when you see what Jesus said next, Jesus tells Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." Well, when we start with that same thought process of, you know what, I've messed up again. He's just going to be done with me. Why bother, Lord, anymore? He's just going to be done with me. We can remember, be not afraid. Believe. Have faith. God has love for you that is beyond all measure. He's not going to throw you away like yesterday's newspaper. He's going to cling to you and hug you. Have faith. Don't give up. Well, now, Jesus didn't want anybody else following them except for Peter, James, and John. Now, a lot of theologians will tell you various reasons of why. We don't know for sure. I personally think it was because these guys needed a little more lesson in who Jesus was. When it comes to the house, the ruler of the synagogue, verse 38, "And he seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly." Let me explain something to you about the period of the time. There were people back then who were professional mourners. The more prestigious you were in the community, the more people would be hired to mourn a loss of your family member. So they would be paid to come and make a big commotion. It's kind of an odd job, isn't it? You know, what do you do for a living? Well, I cry for a living. I can howl like a coyote. It'd be a weird job to have to be a professional mourner, but that was the culture of the day. They would put on a big, cry. Well, Jesus comes in and he says to them, "What's going on? Why are you making all of this fuss, all of this? Why are you crying and carrying on so? The little girl's not dead. She's just resting. She's just sleeping." Well, now, verse 40, we see they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the little girl, the damsel, and they that were with him, and entered where the damsel was lying. These people were around death all the time. They knew what death looked like. I used to work emergency services. Tamara works in the medical field. You're around that enough, you know what death looks like. It's not mistakable. These professional mourners are around death all the time. They know what it looks like. So when Jesus said, "Cut out the noise. She's not dead. She's just sleeping." They start ridiculing him because they're like, "She's dead. We know what dead looks like." Kind of like us. To our old self, we look dead. We look lost. Look hopeless. There wasn't any chance. But when Jesus came in, it breathed new life to us. It gave us a new existence, an eternal mindset. Now, you notice what Jesus does here? He basically says to the people that are ridiculing him, get out. Leave me alone. It's a pretty good lesson right there. When you are walking in faith, you're going to have people who will love to throw things in your way. They're going to love to ridicule, to do all of this stuff. Just do what Jesus did. Just go on. You don't have to get in a big debate with them. Just go on. Leave me alone. Jesus walks in, verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand, and he says to her, basically, get up. Not a lot of form or ceremony, not, you know, big to-do, just simple, get up. Friends, your relationship with the Lord isn't based on form or ceremony. It's not some big production with cymbals that you have to clash so many times and this. It's personal. It's the same as Jesus walking up to you, reaching out his hand and saying, come on, get up. It's that personal. If you will take your Christian walk to that level of personal, where the Lord is hand out to you saying, come with me. You got it. It's that personal. It doesn't involve form, ceremony, ritual. It's personal. He died for you. He died for me. It's personal. It's not something where, you know, just washed by like an ocean wave. No. It's looking you in your eyes and in your heart saying, I loved you so much, I hung on a cross for you. Just trust me. Trust me. Follow me. Don't worry about things of this world. I made this world. Made it in 6 days. I got this covered. It's personal with Jesus, with you, with this little girl, with all of us. Now, when Jesus did that, straight away the damsel arose and walked. She was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I imagine it would be pretty surprising to see somebody that you knew, you know they are dead, and then all of a sudden see them get up, talking, laughing. How many people from our past that knew us when we were dead in sin would be astonished at the life that we have now and the hope for eternal life? Same thing. Jesus interrupted death. What do you need Jesus to interrupt for you? What do you need? Loneliness? Fear? Have you got anxieties about the world that we're living in? You got family issues and you're like, man, how do I manage this? What do you need Jesus to interrupt for you? Death? Hell? I mean, 1 Corinthians 15:55 pretty much says it best on death, doesn't it? It's like, death? Yeah. Where's your sting? Yeah. Where's your power? Where's your victory? Nowhere. It's gone because I have ultimate victory in Jesus, so I don't have to worry about death. Death is just a doorway, and it opens up to a beautiful, beautiful place for those that believe in Jesus. Are you worried about something? Just ask Jesus to interrupt it for you. Do you think that he's going to say, well, you're just asking too much? He stepped out of heaven into this world in the lowliest of positions, not to be exalted, but to be crucified. Asking him to help you with your situation is nothing compared to that. Say, I need you to interrupt something for me. need you to help me with something. Have the faith of Jairus. Have the faith of that woman who, despite all of the chaos, all of the madness, pushed her way through with her focus steadfast on Jesus. There you'll find your answer. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's an opportunity for you to respond as the God, as our Lord leads you. If you do not have the assurance of eternal life, it's your opportunity to come forward, we'll talk and pray for the security of your soul. If you need prayer on an issue, turn the microphone off. I'll be down front, happy to pray with you. It's also an opportunity, if you do not belong to this church, to come forward to join this fellowship, because I know they would love to have you if you're not a member here. Warm and loving, loving church. We're going to sing
Pass Me Not.
Pass Me Not.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
In just a moment, we're going to close in prayer. As my practice is always starting with John 3:16, I always end with a blessing that's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and lift up His countenance upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. Will you close us in prayer?
Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. And we thank You for Your word, which is brought to us through Your servant. And we pray a special blessing on each one that came out today to hear Your word. And we pray that You would be with those and comfort those who are unable to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.